Ken Laban is joining us for a kōrero. Tēnā koe, tōkana, it's always neat to have a yarn. Ngā mihi.
Yeah, kia ora. Kia ora, brother. Nice to be with you again, Dale.
Thank you, Ken. Take us into the rugby space. I know we want to talk about that mad try at the end of the game, but the fact that the Warriors were hanging right there close to one of the best in the business is encouraging. What about the rugby first?
Yeah, well, I suppose everybody's talking about the very quick demise from the penthouse to the outhouse for the Crusaders after setting the bar for, they're the only team that can claim a dynasty in the history of the Super Rugby competition, which is coming up 30 years, three decades old. And, of course, after seven consecutive titles, they find themselves second to last on the table with no wins from four starts. And with potentially the new All Black captain and the current Crusaders captain, of course, Scott Barrett, a late withdrawal from the game on the weekend. So they're now a team that is minus Cody Taylor. And an interesting photo popped up of Cody Taylor in Japan on the weekend. He's on his sabbatical. So it'll be interesting to see what moves are afoot there, given he was snapped in the crowd at one of the Japan games over the weekend. And, of course, the absence of Scott Barrett and Sam Whitelock, coupled together with Drummond, who's now not playing, and Richie Moonga, they're just too many absences, too many key players from the stunning success over the last 7 years. So, I feel for the organisation. I know that there'll be a lot of people laughing and mocking at them, given how much success that they've had, but given those players have been in those positions for so long, all of them legends of the game, very, very difficult times, and especially for Rob Penny, the coach coming in after Scott Robertson's tremendous legacy of those seven titles, as I said. So, extreme disappointment for them. On the other side of the coin, obviously delight for the way that the Hurricanes have started, and many predicted that this would be a tough year for the Hurricanes with a new coach and an uncertainty around the crucial number 10 position. In the end, the start was given to Brett Cameron, who's only played one test for the All Blacks and not required by Canterbury and not required by the Crusaders, and he's been a terrific fit for them so far. And his combination with who many regard as the next All Black halfback, Cam Roygaard, has been a real feature over the last couple of weeks, especially.
Tēnā, look, you're talking to a predominantly Auckland audience. I mean, really, nobody's going to be overly fazed at the demise of the Crusaders listening today on our station, I wouldn't think.
No. Well, from a parochial point of view, well, of course not. You Auckland blokes will be laughing. But that's the nature of sport. People come, people go, people win, people lose. And it's just what it highlights. It's just what a tremendous legacy that Scott Robertson and the organisation left during the time of his tenure. And obviously he leaves some star players, quality players, left at the same time for more money and for greener pastures, as they say. Richie Moonga's on three times what he was on and his contract at the Crusaders. Sam Whitelock, on my understanding, he's on 2.5 times playing in France what he was earning in New Zealand. So, in the twilight of their careers and the great opportunity. But as you say, with a tinge of cynicism, that's footy.
That's footy. There have been some other interesting results in the rugby scene. Just sum it up before we flick across and have a look at this NRL and the ongoing success that the game's enjoying. And also want to touch on this, tunnel by Christchurch to host the squad and even have a quick flick across Auckland FC. But just wrap us up with the Super Rugby for now, please, Ken.
Yeah, well, from a Super Rugby perspective, I think the quality of the games has been tremendous. I think it's been very, very entertaining. Wonderful to see after four rounds that Mike Pacifica sit in eighth position with two wins and two losses. Disappointing that the best crowds that we've seen so far for Super Rugby have been in Fiji. And despite what I think have been thrilling games, there's just that inability of the game so far to attract the community. That's the wider agenda and the wider concern that New Zealand Rugby and Sands have got to address. We need to find a way to get children and families back to the footy. You compare that to the Sharks and the Warriors the week before, 24,000 at Mount Smart Stadium, and down the road in Hamilton, where Moana Pacifica play, they essentially played to an empty audience. How good would it have been if Rugby Union and Rugby League could have found a way to collaborate and put the two games together at the same venue? Would have been tremendous for both Rugby Union and Rugby League, with so many fans with an interest in both, having to make a decision for either one or the other. So my summary of the opening four rounds, the quality of the rugby I think has been thrilling, but I'm just disappointed in the crowd and community support for the game. So that remains the wider challenge in my view.
Yeah, and it's, it enjoyed almost religious status, didn't it, rugby, at the moment, like everyone else who's putting on events, fighting for crowds. It's not a given, as was the case when we were young guys, Ken. What do we make of that? It's a serious marketing challenge ahead for the code, don't you think?
Very hard to compete against Rugby League. And you alluded to it briefly just a moment ago, that game and that finish in Melbourne, Xavier Coates, who would have thought with 30 seconds on the clock, given what the Warriors did in 2023, that they would get run down like that, in front of a very good crowd. And you know, to be completely honest, most people had thought, as I did, that the Storm had lost, and that the Warriors were gonna get home with a thrilling away win. It didn't turn out that way, and it took probably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, finishes of an NRL game of all time. To get it done, the whole world was on their feet. And did I read somewhere the other day that already 2 million people had watched the replay of the try on various TV since in and around Australia alone, let alone the impact that it's had on the world? And I saw some tweets from some colleagues of mine who work in the media in London that were reposting the spectacular dive in the air and the, you know, what was it, just a fraction of a second for Xavier Coates to get the ball down before his left hand went out of the field of play. So, you know, all of the drama that we want in sport, the uncertainty, the emotion, the thrill, it's all coming together with a number of outstanding games, and the crowds were amazing. And I watched the Dolphins dispatch the Dragons 38. No, that could easily have been 50 points. As well, in front of a packed house at KO Stadium in Redcliffe last night, after they were disappointing the weekend before. You know, what do we make of the Roosters? What do we make of Manly? What a game that was, and what a young, big, athletic forward pack Manly are, and the addition of the new half in the Tigers has been terrific for them. So far, so much to enjoy. Great crowds, great interest, and an absolute compelling viewing. And more posts I see from my Rugby Union colleagues on social media just saying how much they're enjoying the NRL. So one thing that the NRL has got, I think, at the moment, is tremendous leadership from Peter Valandis, the chair, and Abdo, the CEO. What they've been able to create, starting in Vegas, and that's allowing for the 8-week suspension that followed the abuse by Spencer Linu to Ezra Mann. In spite of that, 40,000 in Vegas, and then tremendous crowds for the remainder of the first round last week, and of course, what a thrilling weekend it was for the NRL in round two. And, you know, what are the six teams I see the Dolphins with? 2 points are in sixth place all the way down to 11th. All of those teams are sitting on one win and one loss. So I know it's only two rounds into the competition, but already it's off to an uncertain and thrilling start.
Tēnā koe. South Island Kears? Yes? No? Maybe? Well, it doesn't seem to be the team on the priority for the NRL. I think something from WA is probably more likely, but even so, they're throwing their hat into the ring. What do you make of that?
Well, I don't know what to make of it, to be honest, Dale. Like, so there's no entry to the NRL without $25 million, let's be honest. Minimum plus, I think the criteria says, $10 million in the bank. And now that the second bid, and I don't know if it's a serious bid or whether it's just a couple of high-profile people talking to the media, but the original bid would need to have the money, you need to have the venue, you need to have an operational plan, and you need to tick a number of significant boxes to do that. I'm just not convinced that a second bid that's just arrived over the last 48 hours has been able to achieve the same level of funding. So you're telling me that two organisations in Christchurch have been able to find $50 million to fund two separate bids to the NRL to have a team in the competition. I just don't believe that's credible, that kind of money would be available. So I don't know whether it's a stunt for the media. I know that the original bid, which was put in by the Canterbury Rugby League with some pretty influential commercial support, had basically been in the bidding round for some time. And this second one, which has been offered up by David Moffat over the last few days, has just arrived on the scene. So I don't know what to make of that. There's been no indication of who the financial supporters are, whether or not they have the money, or whether they're just a group of blokes who think it's a great idea for New Zealand to have a second team. Well, we all agree on that. But the question is does the substance match the hype? I'm not saying I'm not convinced by it, but I haven't seen any evidence of it yet. So, you know, I guess I remain indifferent about it. But, you know, as you say, Perth will be compelling as well. There's a lot of people in Perth with a lot of money and a brand new stadium that they're going to need to use the days on there. And obviously 13 home games of a team in Perth will make a huge difference, as it will for Christchurch as well. You know, that's going to be a fabulous state-of-the-art stadium that's going to be ready. My understanding is in 2 years' time. And in order to pay for it and to make it work, they're going to need events. And the second team in the NRL, as I said, will bring 13 extra user days to the to that stadium, including, you know, some of the big-name teams that will attract huge crowds. So, you know, I hope that the second bid is credible, but I haven't seen any evidence to convince me that it is.
Yeah, tēnā koe. We'll save our corridor about Auckland FC for next time, Kenny. Thanks very much for sharing some corridor. And look, I think back to our last minute victory against Cronulla last year when we were on the ropes and we fought back and got a last second result. And so this time around it played against us, but hats off to Xavier Coates. And Bellamy says he practices that all day. I'd like to see him in practice. If that's the case, that was the biggest hurdle I've seen in rugby league. But pretty special. And a little bit whakamā too, because it was the Neff who led him around the outside, albeit that he was in flight and over the sideline, but it was something else. Just gut wrenching. It was absolutely thrilling. Thanks, Ken. Thanks for sharing some time with us, brother. Tēnā koe. Ken Laban, commentator extraordinaire.